Now, he says here in verse 3, your gold and silver are rusted, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasures together for the last day. You know how your silver and gold's going to rust? Because you're going to decay. That's the picture here. This is the judgment upon the godless rich, like the men in these two parables that Christ gave. Death came to both of them, and death certainly separates a rich man from his money. It said when one of the Vanderbilts was dying at that particular time, that the family was outside in the outer room waiting, and when the lawyer and the doctor came out, one of the more outspoken members of the family stepped up to the lawyer and said to him, how much did he leave? And he said to him, well, he said he left it all. He didn't take any of it with him. May I say to you, that's the way that it rusts. Let me tell you, a gentleman was being shown through a magnificent grounds of a rich nobleman's estate. And he said to the owner, he says, well, my lord, all this in heaven would be noble, but this in hell would be terrible. And what James is doing here is condemning the godless rich for hoarding money. Does gold and silver rust? Well, remember those gilt-edged bonds. Remember the real estate that many bought in Florida in 1925. A lot of it was underwater then, and it's watered stock for a long time. Now, somebody says, but today real estate is zooming up again. Well, remember, it's boom today, bust tomorrow, and it can happen again. When a man makes a million, he's not satisfied with that. He wants to make 2 million. And it's like drinking seawater. The more you drink, the thirstier you get. And they just keep on making millions. But it doesn't make them happier. We had here in California, I think, two fine examples of it. Two men that were billionaires. And apparently both of them were remarkable men. Both of them built great empires. Howard Hughes was one of them, but his last days, from all we can learn, he was a recluse and a sick man, and he couldn't have been happy those years. All that money, it just didn't seem to do him very much good. And J. Paul Getty, another man, it was reported in the press that he made the statement, he said, I'd give all my wealth for just one happy marriage. How tragic. Both of them are gone now, but what an example they've left. Now, God gave wealth not to be hoarded, but to be dispensed. The rich man in the parable, he built greater barns. He wanted to store his goods and his fruit. But you see, you can only eat so much. You can drink so much. You can only wear one suit at a time. And after the first million, why, when you start gathering more millions, they're just like a pile of rocks. That's all they are. You can't eat them. You can't do anything with it. It's just something that you can't in any ways use. Now, therefore, that's the reason that our Lord called that man a fool. When you fill your barn, I think the Lord meant, why didn't he go over and fill somebody else's barn? I know a Christian farmer up in the fruit belt here in California. He talked to me last year about this. He said, you know, we had to, because of the organization he's in, dump our fruit to keep the prices up. And he said, actually, tons of fruit. And right down here in Los Angeles, there were a lot of folk that could have enjoyed that. That's the picture that we have, friends. And again, let me give you a quotation here that I think is quite remarkable. These are two little stories that have come my way. This was said by a very young person, very impatiently. Says, I'm living now and I mean to have a good time. The hereafter isn't here yet. And a very wise companion said to this young person, no, only the first part of it. But I shouldn't wonder if the here had a good deal to do with shaping the after, the hereafter. And there was an irreligious farmer, a very godless farmer, and he gloried in the fact that he was an agnostic. He wrote a letter to a local newspaper saying, "Sir, I've been trying an experiment with a field of mine. I plowed it on Sunday. I planted it on Sunday. I cultivated it on Sunday. I reaped it on Sunday. I hauled it into my barn on Sunday. And now, Mr. Editor, what is the result? I have more bushels to the acre in that field than any of my neighbors have had this October." And the editor quoted the letter and then put down under it, and the editor wasn't a religious man. He put this down under it: "God does not always settle his accounts in October. You see, God has eternity ahead of him."